You're listening to the free edition of Sweden in Focus from The Local. If you would like to listen to a full-length version of the podcast, as well as an additional midweek episode, please check the episode notes for details on how to upgrade to Membership Plus. Here's this week's free edition.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to Sweden in Focus, the Local's weekly news podcast. This week, we're going to talk about Ascension Day, the public holiday coming up this week. We'll discuss the risk of extremist violence ahead of the EU election after neo-Nazis stormed a meeting in Stockholm. And we'll profile the new Green Party joint leader, Amanda Lind. For Membership Plus subscribers, we'll examine how Malmö's preparations are coming along ahead of a Eurovision Song Contest mired in geopolitical controversy. We'll talk about reports of how organized criminals have infiltrated the Swedish police force. And finally, we'll look ahead to the summer and festivals we have to look forward to in Sweden. I'm Paul O'Mahony in Stockholm, and I'm joined today from Malmö by Emma Lovegren and Becky Waterton. Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
Let's get straight into it. Emma, can you please explain why we get a day off for Ascension on Thursday, despite this being one of the most secular countries in the world? And I'm not complaining, by the way.
I think we've talked before about how Swedes are pretty non-religious, but also very big fans of public holidays. I mean, I'm still bitter about Pentecost being scrapped as a public holiday 20 years ago, and I don't even know what happens on Pentecost. I do know that Ascension marks the day that Christians believe that Jesus ascended into heaven, which is 40 days after Easter Sunday. But why is this a public holiday? Well, in Sweden, most of our public holidays, apart from, I think, May 1st and National Day on June 6th, go back to the Middle Ages. And back then, Sweden was a Catholic country. And you can still see this sort of religious and cultural history in our modern calendar today. Like even Midsummer's Eve used to be religious. It was a day in honor of John the Baptist, which is today more associated with drinking aquavit or picking flowers and pretending to be little frogs. And unlike Midsummer, Ascension Day doesn't really have any kind of, you know, modern non-religious activities associated with it. It's just the day that you get off. So enjoy it and make the most of it. Go out and do some gardening.
Excellent. Yeah, we look forward to it. It's Thursday, right?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thanks, Emma. So last week we had a special edition of the podcast with a jobs focus, and we didn't cover the storming of a political meeting in Gubbängen, a suburb in the south of Stockholm, that happened that week. Becky, can you remind us of what happened?
Yeah, so it was an anti-fascism meeting organised by the Left Party and the Green Party, and the anti-racism magazine Expo was also in attendance. It was stormed by several masked men who Expo described as Nazis, who set off smoke bombs and sprayed paint in people's faces.
Okay, and how did politicians and the public react to the attack?
Yeah, so all of Sweden's political parties have condemned the attack, with many calling it an attack or threat on Swedish democracy. And as far as how the public have responded, there was a big rally, I think, the day after or a couple of days after in Gubbängen outside the theatre, where there was at least 1,000 people in attendance.
Mm. And how common are violent attacks by political extremists in Sweden, and who tends to be behind them?
Well, the most recent high-profile case is probably Theodor Engström, who fatally stabbed psychiatrist Ingmarie Riesegren at the Almedalen political festival 2 years ago. I think we spoke about that on the podcast at the time. He had a background in the neo-Nazi Nordic resistance movement and had also plotted to kill former Centre Party leader Annie Lööf during the festival. The Nordic resistance movement makes headlines on a relatively regular basis due to its members allegedly carrying out or plotting to carry out various forms of attack. There was also the murder of the Swedish foreign minister, Anna Lind, in 2003, although her murderer said that he carried out the attack on her due to a general hatred of politicians rather than a hatred of Anna Lind in particular. I'd say in recent years, the main issue has been with the extreme right, who, according to Expo, have a particular focus on recruiting young people to carry out school attacks and other politically motivated attacks. On the other side of the political spectrum, Some members of Antifascistisk Aktion, also known as AFA, threatened and attacked Sweden Democrat politicians in the early 2000s, although there's been less of this in recent years. I mean, Sweden's security police don't consider left-wing extremists to be a threat to Sweden. The main threat, according to them, is from right-wing extremists and violent Islamic terrorists. Journalist Mattias Våg, who appears to have been one of the targets of the Gubbängen attack, he was at the event, or he was scheduled to speak at the event. He was a member of AFA in the early 1990s, so that might be one of the reasons he in particular was targeted, despite the fact that he left the movement decades ago. I mean, this could be why Sweden Democrat leader Jimmie Åkesson responded to the Gubbängen attack by saying, political violence is terrible in all of its forms and does not belong in Sweden. That's kind of his way of saying the same thing has happened to the Sweden Democrats before. And indeed, some Sweden Democrats did point this out after the Gubbängen attack.
So we've got the EU election coming up in Sweden on the 9th of June. How has the attack in Gubbängen affected the parliamentary party's preparation?
Left party leader Nooshi Dadgostar said she wants Prime Minister Ulf Kristersson to give his assurances that he and the government will make sure this doesn't happen again, especially in the run-up to the election. And she wants him to organise a meeting with all of Sweden's political party leaders, as well as relevant ministers and authorities, in order to discuss this. So he has responded to this, saying that the government would meet all party leaders to discuss how the party should combat attacks, harassment and sabotage of political meetings. But he hasn't said anything about involving ministers and authorities. So he's kind of answered what she's asked for, but not gone as far as she wants him to go.
Okay, thanks, Becky. And we'll add links in the show description to related articles we have on this subject.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Before we move on, I just want to mention the next episode of Sweden in Focus Extra for Membership Plus subscribers, which features a chat Becky had with John Taylor, the English host of SVT's popular gardening show Trädgårdstider. Let's listen to a short clip.
We had a reader called Lindsay who asks, where can we find information about native plants to put in our gardens?
Most garden centres now will have a section with native plants. What you've got to remember is that all plants are native plants somewhere, if not necessarily in Sweden. And the plants in Sweden, the native plants, they're also the same plants that are native plants in most of Northern Europe or even the Northern Hemisphere. So you should be able to find plants in most garden centres. There will be a specialist nursery where you are, Lindsay. I'm not really sure where you live in. For example, if you were living in Malmö, I could definitely point you to one nursery, which is 10 kilometres away here, which would sell you native plants. But you've got to find that out from your local Swedish friends who will tell you where the best garden centre is to get those plants.
Mm.
But information about native plants, I would say, you know, the internet is a pretty good source of information and you should be able to find out about that pretty easily. I'm sure there's groups working with that way where you're living.
I think I saw something that you guys did on Trädgårdstider when you did like a Mediterranean garden, making like microclimates as well. So I'm thinking if someone's from somewhere much hotter and they miss some kind of fruit or veg from home.
That's a really good point. If you happen to be, for example, somewhere in Asia or India, for example, you know, to create that kind of climate is very, very difficult. For example, there's a guy in Malmö who's growing bananas and he harvests bananas, but he's got 30 degrees in that greenhouse all year round. So you need heat and warmth and also you need a lack of freezing temperatures. I mean, a lot of the tropical plants and the subtropical plants, you know, they just don't survive. They don't do anything under, you know, 8 degrees Celsius. They just don't crack on and grow. So growing some of the fruits that I know are in the Southern Hemisphere is very difficult here. You just basically, you can't do it. So you have to find a substitute and find out something that will grow.
I realised when I was preparing for this interview, I've never actually heard you speaking English, only Swedish. So was it important for you to learn Swedish when you moved here? And do you have any tips on how to learn?
Yeah, I mean, we learned French at school when I was little. We were always encouraged to learn a foreign language. And it was definitely very important to me to learn Swedish coming here. You're not a part of society if you don't. So I'm a great believer in that one should really, really try and learn the language of the place where you're living. It's more or less an insult not to, really, for me. I've also learned to speak the local dialect, Skånska, which is considered quite charming by most people I've heard. And it's not actually a difficult language to learn. Most of the words, you know, are very, very similar to the words in English. Just think about the words for hand or arm or finger or something. So it's not a difficult language to learn. You just have to apply yourself and show some discipline and learn, you know, for respect for the culture where you've moved to.
That was John Taylor, and you'll be able to hear much more about his life and career and his gardening tips from Sweden in Wednesday's episode of Sweden in Focus Extra. We're going to stay with politics now and the decision last weekend by the Green Party to elect Amanda Lind as their joint spokesperson alongside Daniel Heldén. What can you tell us about Amanda Lind, Emma? Who is she and what can we expect from her?
So Amanda Lind is, well, she's a member of parliament for the Green Party, and she's also the former culture minister back when the Green Party was in government with the Social Democrats. For those who believe that the Green Party should also focus on like social issues and not, like, quote unquote, just the environment, she'll probably be a good counterweight to the other leader, Daniel Heldén, who's seen as quite focused on like climate, energy and biodiversity, kind of from a sort of Stockholm high-tech modernizing angle. Lind, on the other hand, she's seen as more focused on, well, I mean, of course, the green aspect as well, but also the social and cultural issues like the rights of Sami people and immigration, even though in her leadership campaign, she stressed that she wanted to attack the government when it comes to climate policy, and said that the Green Party needs to focus on pushing for a social, just green transition, which doesn't punish people living in the countryside or on lower incomes. And she's also said that she wants to boost the party's self-confidence and that she and Heldén should be more visible within the party.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So in the space of just a couple of months, the Green Party has replaced both its previous joint leaders, Märta Stenevi and Per Bolund, both of whom languished near the bottom of polls of which politicians the public has confidence in. Is there any indication that Amanda Lind and Daniel Heldén will perform any better?
So my instinctive reaction is, meh. But what could benefit them is that they are both fairly well known and they cover quite a lot of bases between them. As I was talking about earlier, like Lind represents a sort of socially conscious part of potential voters, and she started her career in Umeå, so she's well aware of the downsides that some of the urban green policies have for people in northern and other rural parts of Sweden. Of course, Umeå is not rural, it's a city, but still she has that sort of northern connection anyway. Heldén, on the other hand, he's got a lot of contacts in the world of kind of modern techie green policies. And when he was a councillor in Stockholm, he was also known for being quite willing to work with the centre-right when needed. So that could potentially help the Green Party sort of slightly shed the image of having become a bunch of lefties, you know, like they used to be sort of more middle of the road. They've both also got a reputation for being fairly pragmatic types. So not just pushing for a sort of idealistic but naive green transformation, but actually looking at, okay, what can we do? What will people accept? That said, I'm not sure how much this will actually help. Like the Green Party has been struggling a lot lately. If there's one thing that could potentially give them a boost, is if they do well in the EU elections in June, because they are polling quite well already for that election, much higher than their result in the Swedish national election. Now, actually, the Green Party usually does better in the EU election than the national election. But if they somehow kind of manage to link that to the new leadership, it could potentially give them a foundation to build on, at least in terms of political PR.
And are we likely to see any radical changes to Green Party policy under the new leadership duo?
I don't think so. I mean, first of all, the party machine is so strong in Sweden that it's hard to have much top-down control at all. So you rarely see any radical changes in any party, really, when there's a new leader. As for the Green Party, I think we're going to continue to see this conflict of should we have a narrow focus on the environment or on broader social issues as well. And I don't think they're going to sort of fully come down on one side or the other there. So this sort of tug of war is going to continue, I think.
Okay, thanks, Emma. Our regular panelist here, Richard Orange, wrote a good profile of Amanda Lind recently that we'll post a link to in the show notes. That's all for this week's free edition of Sweden in Focus. If you'd like to hear a full-length version of the podcast each week, as well as an additional midweek episode with more interviews and analysis, please upgrade to Membership Plus. Make sure to check the episode notes for details on how to upgrade. Sweden in Focus is a podcast by The Local Europe. Our sound engineer is Rhys Edwards. The publisher is James Savage.